Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Welcome to the second edition of this podcast. Today's guest is George Contos, the right-handed reliever for the Giants, and somebody who really has found a home in this bullpen, a home in San Francisco, too, and has become a big part of what the Giants do and really saved a lot of guys last year. Had an underrated season and did a great job of saving the starters and saving their ERAs when they left with runners on. So we all saw the streak he had early last year with inherited runners. And I talked to George about the bullpen, about what his role is going forward. We talked quite a bit about the Cubs, which I thought was interesting. George is from Chicago, and he is certainly looking forward to the potential of the Giants and the Cubs facing off in October. And he talked about that quite a bit. If you missed the first one, Brandon Crawford was the guest last week. That podcast is now on iTunes. You can subscribe and get all of them. We have plenty coming this season. Crawford was on the first one. Contos is the second one. And I think Crawford made a cameo here, too, because that was his batting practice soundtrack playing in the background. So here's George Contos. George, you get to be the first pitcher on my podcast, the second player. After
awesome.
Crawford, who
very
I think
excited.
Is giving us the background music right now. The thing I wanted to ask you, in this podcast we can go a little bit longer, so it allows you to explain things a little bit better. I'm curious your workout routine every single day, and I've heard from guys, Carl has told me before, you're one of the first guys in there usually, especially for home games. Yeah. And being a middle reliever, you never really know when you're going to get out there or what situation, whether it's the fourth inning or extra innings or something like that. So what's kind of your day once you get to the park and how you go about everything?
Well, I mean, I'm a pretty routine oriented guy, and you know, I think, you know, the bottom line is I feel like I have to do everything that I do every day from my routine standpoint to be mentally ready to pitch that night. You know, I've always been one of those guys where I need to do something physical to feel like I've gotten myself better that day, to be prepared to go in the game and pitch. And it's nothing that you know, is overworking the body. It may be just doing core that day when I get to the field, or it may be doing some hip stuff, getting my hips firing help my hips stay closed while I'm pitching. It's just doing something productive every day. That's part of my routine. So when the game time does come and I get stretched and ready to go, I've done everything that I need to do to be mentally prepared to pitch in that game that night.
In terms of being ready for actually whatever role you're in, how do you handle that during a game, knowing that it could be early on he calls on you, especially this year without Petit there, or it could be, you know, seventh inning for a big right-hander?
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things where I've kind of pitched in every role, you know, since I've been in pro baseball. I started out as a starter before, you know, I had my elbow surgery, and then ever since then I've kind of done everything. I've closed in AAA, and I've had that experience when I was down in the minor leagues, and, you know, ever since I've been in the bullpen here in San Francisco in the major leagues, I think I've done everything from the second inning all the way into the eighth inning as a setup guy here and there. So, you know, bottom line is whenever your name gets called, you have to be prepared to get whatever hitters you have to face out, regardless of the situation or point in the game. So whatever I can do to get myself mentally ready to go every day, that's kind of what I do. And so far it's been working pretty well.
I think we saw you as a rookie in your first year or two, used a lot against tough right-handers, and sometimes it'd be just one guy. I know I always bring up the Matt Kemp one after you have big games. And last year was more of a, you know, fifth inning guy's in trouble. You're the fireman. You're the guy who comes and helps out. What do you expect this year? Do you think it's going to be the same role as last year? Have they talked to you much about?
They haven't. They haven't talked too much. But I would expect that, you know, after kind of the year I've had last year and the years that I've had, you know, in the past, I think I've done well. I think I've proven that I can handle you know, a little bit more responsibility later in the game. And I would expect, just being a, you know, a competitor and You know, everything we do is for the team, but selfishly, I of course want more responsibility, and I want a role that is of increased importance, I guess you could say, the later you get into the ball game as a reliever. You know, that kind of gauged as a little bit more important the later you get into the game. And you know, I'm a competitor. I take my job very, very seriously, and you know, I want this team to win, and I want to be a part of those games that are tight and that we're going to win later in the game. So, you know, to say that I'm content with where I was at last year, I thought I had a very, very good year, and I'd like to pick up where I left off. But, you know, selfishly, I would love to get into the game in the seventh and eighth inning and contribute in those innings as well.
Part of that might kind of organically happen, I think, as we see, you know, Affelt was the first one to move on, and a new generation of guys coming in. You're kind of stuck between the guys who have been here since 2010 and this generation that started with Strickland and Osich. Like, how do you see this bullpen going forward and some of the arms you guys have coming and mixing with the veterans you have, mixing in with you? And
yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those situations where I haven't thought about it too much, but here and there I catch myself thinking, is you're right, as I've been here in that older generation, that older wave with, you know, when I was coming up as a young kid in this game, it was with Casilla and Romo and Affelt and Javi and Moda, you know, learning from those guys. You know, and now, like you said, I'm kind of caught in the middle because, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a young player in the game anymore, but I'm by no means a veteran, in my opinion. But I'm kind of in the middle. And once this next year is up, depending on what happens contractually with some of the guys that, you know, we have coming off of their last year of their deals, you know, I've thought about it a couple times, but if everybody becomes a free agent, we don't sign anybody back, I think I might be the longest tenured bullpen guy next year. So it's one of those things where, you know, I've been very fortunate and very blessed to have the people ahead of me teach me. You know, I've said this from the beginning and I'll still say it now, but having Javi on my right and Jeremy on my left all 4 years in the big leagues in the locker room was really a blessing in disguise for me. There was always something that we could talk about. There was always something that I could learn from listening to their conversations. You know, between the two of them, it was 25 years of major league experience. So they have a lot of battle stories, you know, from a lot of different years. And, you know, it's been great to be able to sit in between them and pick their brains on things. And it's definitely helped me develop as a pitcher. You know, I understand what kind of pitcher I am now. You know, I'm not going to be a guy that's going to go out and throw 95, 97 by guys. You know, I think I have a very good live fastball that I can locate to both sides, and nothing I throw is straight. I can mix my pitches up well, and you know, I've accepted that I'm that kind of pitcher. I mean, I can get a strikeout when I need it, but I force contact, I throw strikes. And you know, Jeremy and Javi and those guys have, you know, Casilla, that's all we've talked about. Casilla and I were throwing partners for 2 years, and all he kept drilling into my head was, you gotta throw your fastball, you have a good fastball. And you know, I finally started listening, and you know, it's really helped me develop into the pitcher that I've become today.
Is it noticeably quieter without Jeremy? He's keeping tabs on everybody.
It's not noticeably quieter, but I mean, Jeremy, you can't say enough good things about that guy. You know, he's always in the midst of some sort of controversy in the clubhouse, and he's never short of words. But you know, it's always great when he's around now, and it was always great when he was around, because he's the best punching bag you could possibly get in the clubhouse.
I've been curious about that. I think it helps to have that guy who especially with how self-deprecating he was, you know, somebody who would, it's a long season. Who
he's
could
great.
Break it,
you know,
up.
The thing about Jeremy that was so great is he was so self-confident, and he knew what he was about, which made him play into that role so well. Is, you know, you could sit there and dog on him all day, but the bottom line is he was never going to get sensitive about it. And when it was all said and done, we were all joking and everything moved forward as it should have anyways. And that just goes not just about Jeremy, but that just goes to show how good our clubhouse is. We have a bunch of guys who, you know, we could be sitting in our locker and somebody across the clubhouse, we could yell a little joke at them and everyone starts chiming in and we have a good laugh. But then again, nobody gets sensitive. Nobody gets offended. It's all in good fun. I think that's why we have the team chemistry and camaraderie that we do have, is because we're all very loose. We're all good buddies. Everyone's friends. And I think that's really important as to what we have going on with this club.
Are you going to have to find a new punching bag or somebody to keep it loose during the year?
You know,
have
not, you guys not, found not really me? You know, everyone jokes around with everybody else. I mean, Denard's been giving me a hard time. I've been giving him a hard time back. You know, all of us bullpen guys, you know, give each other a hard time, you know, from Javi to Strick to Osich to, you know, whoever is down there with us. We're all very, very close, and we all give each other a hard time, but at the same time we always have each other's backs as well.
I think, you know, my favorite topic with relievers is when you guys get to hit and you get the rare the rare at bat. You had a good story last year when I wrote about this, about how you were actually, I think Jay Mariotti didn't have you on the he didn't have you on the all state pitching team or all
city.
Yeah,
when I was in high school, I think I went, you know, 7-0 or 8-0 or something my senior year with a sub 1, and I was all state on all three of the major publications, the Chicago Sun-Times, the Chicago Tribune, and the Illinois Coaches Association. But the funny one was, is Chicago Sun-Times, Jay Mariotti had given me All-State as a DH. I had hit like 495 or something like that my senior year. And for some reason, he just didn't think I deserved it as a pitcher and gave it to somebody else. But, you know, it was fine. It was no big deal. But that's about as far as my hitting took me.
He's around now.
He's somewhere around the Bay Area.
Somebody mentioned his choice.
We'll have to have a sit down one day, he and I, and we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, going to the Chicago stuff for a second. I always got a kick out of when you would tweet about the Bears or the Bulls or the Blackhawks, and people on Twitter would come back at you like, you know, come on, you should be a Niners fan or something.
Yeah.
How often do you hear that when you support? I know you watch the Warriors and all them, but when you support your home team, which I think is funny because these people know you because you're a Giant,
right? You know, it's one of those things where it's not too much backlash. There are a couple people who get a little bit sensitive about it, you know, and whenever my hometown teams play my work town teams in whatever event it may be, I tend to get a little bit more quiet on social media. I don't really broadcast that too much, but you know what? I grew up a Chicago sports fan. You know, I've lived in Chicago my entire life, born and raised. That's where I plan on raising my family one day. So the roots run deep for Chicago sports. You know, I'm a big Blackhawks fan now. I am a Bears fan, unfortunately. But I mean, as far as rooting for the hometown team, I always root for them. And it's one of those things where whenever the Bay Area teams are playing, I root for them as well. You know, I have a lot of respect for the Bay Area teams as well, and I've gotten to know some of the athletes that play in the Bay Area with us, and, you know, it's a lot of fun to root for everybody. But, you know, when push comes to shove, the roots run deep for the Chicago squads.
Have you thought about the potential of – I mean, the Cubs are the story of baseball right now. It's an even year for you guys, and obviously reloaded. The potential of later in the season, maybe in October, a series in your hometown –
Nothing would make me happier than rolling into Chicago and just shutting them down. Nothing would make me happier. I mean, I grew up a Cubs fan, and I think it's great what's going on with the team there for the city. My alliances and allegiance lies right here with San Francisco. And you know, I love the Bay Area. I love playing for the Giants. And if we have that opportunity to run into them down the road in October, I hope we, you know, put a hurting on them and you know, we show them that you know, we're a great baseball team, and even though we don't get as much of the hype, you know, sometimes as we deserve, you know, we always show up and we're ready to play ball. And that's the one thing that's great about this ball club is it doesn't matter who we're facing, doesn't matter what's going on, is you can never count us out because we're going to find a way to be in the game and claw our way, you know, out of whatever ditch or jam we're in, and we find ways to win, which is what makes us so special.
You go back there every offseason. You live there. You work out there. How much did you hear about the Cubs from friends, from workout partners this offseason?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have guys who I played in college with who, you know, we go and we tailgate for Northwestern football games, and they're like, what do you got in the Cubs? They're going to be so great. I'm like, that's great. You know, I'm glad they're doing all that stuff. It's a lot of hype. It's a lot of excitement for the city. So until we roll into town and we have to play them, I hope nothing but the best for them. It's great for the city. It's great for the fans of Chicago that they finally have a team in the Cubs that you can root for, and they have a good chance of putting together something special. You know, but the bottom line is now is, you know, we're here to win. You know, the allegiances stop once we roll into Chicago. So it's one of those things where you know, even my brother's still a Cubs fan, and he's just like, the Cubs are going to be good. I was like, yeah, well, we're going to be better, and we're going to do it. So, you know, I deal with it when I'm back home a little bit from all angles. But, you know, the bottom line is when we roll into Chicago and we play the Cubs, it's, you know, we're there to win, and I expect to win when we go in there.
We were talking this morning with you. This is what today's Monday, about you going on stage last night at PB's event. And I want to ask you about that, but in a larger sense, I think one thing I've noticed about you since you got up here and something that I always appreciated was you seem to really enjoy being a big leaguer and really enjoy the fact that you get opportunities like to play at Pebble or, you know, the Blackhawks thing you did where you got to shoot the puck in the period break. Was that something that you had to think about once you got in the big leagues, or was it something – because other guys, not everybody does that. I think some people – you know, we'll just go home.
Yeah, what's, you know, kind of it's one of those things is where I've wanted to be. This has been my dream since I was, you know, young enough to understand what I wanted to do when I grew up. You know, since 5 or 6 years old. You know, if anybody asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, it was I wanted to play Major League Baseball. That's what I wanted to do. And I understand that this does not last forever. You know, and the opportunities that we have now and the people that we get to meet and the things that we get to do is we're very, very fortunate to be able to do these things. And, you know, some of the opportunities that we have and that are made available to us, like playing Pebble or meeting people like, you know, the people that, you know, PV put the event on, for the Marines, for the heroes that have risked their lives for this country and for us to be able to do what we do here. You know, it's definitely an honor and it's a privilege to be able to do these things and participate in them. And, you know, if golfing Pebble Beach is one of the perks, then I'd love to 100% do it. I'm a big golfer and I would love to be able to golf courses that I would maybe have not ever been able to have the chance to play. You know, but the big thing is it's a privilege to be able to do these things and to play this game and do the things that I've wanted to do since I was 5 years old, and to be able to do that as my job. I can say that I get up every day and I go to the ballpark and I get to play a game as my job. So, you know, it doesn't get much better than that. And, you know, I'm very, very fortunate to be able to do this. And, you know, I think what really made me appreciate it a little bit more was when I first got to the major leagues in 2011 with the Yankees in September. I went somewhere with CeCe Sabathia after a game. We were going to grab some food somewhere, and, you know, a fan jumped in front of the cab and was like, "CeCe, can you please sign this jersey for me?" And, you know, he had the cab driver stop and he opened the window, he signed, and I looked at him. I was like, "Man, CeCe, like, this is very nice. Like, these people are always jumping in front of cabs." And he goes, "You know what, man, in 20, 30 years, no one's going to care who I was. No one's going to care who I was back then." So he's like, "While I have some attention now, you know, the least I can do is interact with the fans and be good to the fans. And you know, they want my time. The least I can do is give them a little bit of it." And that really resonated with me, and it really kind of sunk home. And, you know, he was very right. You know, there are very few people who go remembered in this game once they're gone. You know, so while people care a little bit about who you are and want to know a little bit into your life, you know, that's the whole point. You know, that's the whole point in being, you know, available to the media, to the fans, and all that stuff. It's just being a good person, and usually the game and the fans are good to you back.
I think being in San Francisco, too, it's a little bit unique with how much the fans pay attention I think, you know, some other places they might not pay attention to guys who are coming up and going back down.
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, we say it all the time, and you know, you see the commercials during baseball seasons, but, you know, the reason why we're as good as we are is because of the support that we have from the fans. I mean, there's nothing better than going, you know, getting home from a long road trip, a 10-day East Coast road trip, for example, and then we know that when we get back there on that next night, we're going to have 45,000 people there to support us. And you know, the electricity that we feel in our ballpark is duplicated by nowhere else. You know, there's nowhere anywhere else we go where we feel the same support for that team that we do at home. So, you know, we're very lucky to play in San Francisco, and we're very lucky that the fan base, you know, loves us as much as they do. And it's definitely a mutual thing. Is, you know, we need them just as much as they like coming and supporting us. So it's definitely a two-way street, and it's definitely appreciated.
Going back to golf for a second, I know you guys played here on an off day and had maybe a tournament or mm-hmm. something. Who do we not know about that's really good? Who maybe some of the prospects? I know a lot of those kids play. How would you kind of handicap the current Giants on the golf course?
Oof, you know what? Chris Heston's a good golfer. He kind of goes under the radar. Chris is kind of a soft-spoken guy, and, you know, when he goes on the golf course, he definitely knows what he's doing out there. Clayton Blackburn, he can play a little bit. He can play some golf. Strickland and Osich just started, so it's kind of funny watching them whack balls all over the place. But as far as, you know, guys going out there, there's a lot of guys who can golf. It's a lot of fun when we get out there and we get to do these things we do, and that's just another way how we bond as a team with the younger guys coming up and the current guys that we have. We all go out there and have a great time, and, you know, it's good to get these younger guys comfortable in the clubhouse and around all of the guys who are here and are going to be here. You know, because when they get their opportunity to come up here, we're an organization where when you get called up, we expect you to perform. So it's good. It's good making them feel comfortable. It's good getting them out there and letting them kind of be themselves a little bit.
Did you guys have a winner the other day, or was it?
Yeah, we did actually. Or? It was teams. We had captains, and we had different teams, and you know, my team was fortunate enough to win. So it was a good day. We had a good time. It was myself, Javier Lopez, Ricky Romero, And our fourth golfer was Chet Chop, actually. So we had a good day.
You had all the lefties.
Well, Javi plays golf righty, so we had two righties and two lefties.
Is he as smooth on the golf course as he is?
Yeah, he's got a nice smooth swing. He's exactly like he is on the pitching mound. Nice smooth swing, good contact. You know, a lot of us are out there trying to bomb the ball, and he's nice and steady, consistent. So,
does he strut after he? You've seen Javi strut after he strikes somebody out.
After a good drive. Yeah, after a good drive, after a good putt, he'll strut it off too. He's definitely definitely Dr. Smooth.
It's going to be my last question for you, and I appreciate you subtly sliding the ice pack off without anybody noticing.
Yeah, it was good.
That thing was counting down. I thought we were going to be cut off here. But I asked Brandon this, and this is the Brandon Belt question, because he went swimming in a minor league dugout one time. And I'm curious for every guy, what's something from the minors, that a road trip, a game, something that happened to you that's one of those, you know, this could only happen in the minor leagues? If you think of some experience that you had.
I have two. I have two experiences that I feel like would only happen in a minor league setting. I was in the 2008 trade from the Yankees to the Pirates that sent Jeff Karstens, Daniel McCutchen, Jose Tabata, and I think one other person for Xavier Nady and the lefty reliever Marte. I was in that trade for about 12 hours. So it was supposed to be myself and Phil Koch originally. And then I got a call the next morning as I was about to start packing my bags to wait for the plane ticket to wherever I was going to go. And I got a phone call saying, hey, trade didn't go through. You're pitching tonight still for us, for the AA affiliate in Trenton. And I ended up not going to the Pirates. And then I ended up facing them my next start back when I was a starter. Faced them my very next start in Trenton against Altoona. And I went 8 innings, 13 punchies, no runs, one hit. It was kind of like a here's what you missed out on, you know, by not wanting me in that trade. And then the next one was we were in Erie playing the Tigers double-A team, and it rained so hard that one of my teammates, we were just joking around in the dugout in the rain delay waiting around, and he got up in front of our dugout. The other team was in their dugout, and he kind of did a wrestling move with the belt across his, kissed his muscles, and did 20 one-handed push-ups and called out anybody on their bench who would come out and try and match him with the 20 one-handed push-ups. And that didn't go over so well with our minor league manager at the time. But it was definitely funny. A lot of laughs during that rain delay.
That first one, now we know. I think I'll tell Bobby or Boach how to get you motivated at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Freak you out for 12 hours.
I went home and I was like, oh, man, this is crazy. I'm going to be traded. I'm not going to know – you know, the biggest thing that people don't necessarily like is change. You know, I was comfortable in my situation and in my setting, and all of a sudden I was going to have to go somewhere else. And it didn't happen that first time, but the second time it happened, I'm awfully grateful that it did.
It worked out. One of my favorite stories is Duffy spending the whole day when he got called up thinking he got traded.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just – he went and took a nap at some point because it was deadline day.
So yeah.
He got a call in the morning and was told not to go on the road, and I think it was to Altoona. Ended up being in the big leagues that night. So
yeah, that's I would have rather had his phone call than the one that I got all those years ago. It seems like forever ago. It was 2008 now. Jeez, but it's one of those things where those kind of uncertainty type situations are definitely a little bit frustrating and can cause you to bite your nails a little bit.
Well, you're locked in now, and I appreciate you being the first pitcher.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And it was a good reminder to me of why we always record you, because you talk really fast, which we tell you every single time we have to talk to you.
The first interview I ever gave was in Staten Island, New York, and it was after my first start. I ended up pitching pretty well, and this reporter goes, man, you talk so fast. And, you know, I make it a point to try and speak a little slower, but once my brain gets going, the mouth kind of just has to keep up.
It's good for a podcast. I think it's a reminder for us every year. We always remember, we go, this is, you know, got to record George.
Yep,
when we go in there and we get a big strikeout or get the win, and we're reminded that we have to record you, not try to transcribe it. So
yeah, sometimes when the adrenaline's pumping, the words come out pretty quick.
You're up there with Timmy, but he was up there. Thank you, George, for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.